Imadagai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Last week, Tony shared how he and his cousin planned to rob a bank, but it all went wrong. Now Tony continues with what happened next.
Out of desperation, there was not a lot of planning and not a lot of, you know, I always planned my jobs, and I decided, well, this time I'm just going to go and we'll rob the local TAB. We gets out front. I said, you leave the car there. I said, when I go in, then you come in behind me. I'll go in first. And as I was walking in, one of my relatives was coming out of the TAB. And I said, oh, brilliant. You know, somebody knows me, and here I'm going in to rob the place. Anyway, one of my relatives, I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just going to pick up some money, and I'll see you shortly, you know, catch up with you. We'll have a beer, I'll have something. Anyway, so I just went in there casually as you please and robbed the place, and we went out and got in the car, and I was heading for my getaway, and then, you know, I called myself a black tracker. I got lost. You see, getting lost was a good thing because I finished up on the other side of the police roadblock, and I was heading home. We had a fair bit of money, and despite everything else, everything was going really good. And my normal instinct was, well, we don't take the car back home. We get rid of the car. When we got to a place called Gunnedown, I thought, well, let's ditch the car, and there's an Aboriginal taxi driver. He won't ask questions, and we'll catch a taxi home. And this guy said, oh, come on, you know. He said, you know, let's just keep the car. We can get rid of it when we get home, and nobody will be any the wiser. Anyway, about 20 miles out of this other country town, the police pulled me up for speeding. And could I pull up? No. Stolen car, two black fellas, a gun, everything in the car, no way in the world I could pull up. For the next 20 Ks, the police tried to kill me, and I tried to kill the police. I smashed up six roadblocks. I remember this stupid white copper standing in the middle of the road with a shotgun. And he had two police cars pointed in towards each other, and he was standing in front of them. I don't know who he thought he was, saying, stop in the name of the law. I mean, I wasn't going to stop after hitting other roadblocks. Why should I stop now? Anyway, so I just pointed the car straight at him, got enough speed up and smashed up the roadblock. He got out of the road. Then I smashed up another three police cars before I got to the other side of town. And then one police car forced me into a telegraph pole. And then my partner jumped out of the car and he started to run, and police were shooting at him, and I thought he went down, he tripped. I didn't realise he wasn't hit. But the trouble was, because we only had the one gun, he'd taken my gun with him. I'm sitting in the getaway car. The police are standing there 10 or 12 feet away just shooting bullets into the car. How they didn't hit me, I have no idea, except for God's protection. I just started the car and it went. So I got it and I drove, and I finished up just about on the last street before getting out of town, and another police car come along and hit me, and then he forced me to go a different direction altogether, and I was heading back towards the river. And then I decided, well, I hit about five parked cars, and I decided to dive out of the car at about 60 kilometres an hour. I was hurt. I got up and went into a yard, and I hid myself in underneath a caravan, and the police were everywhere looking for me. I mean, I caused a lot of havoc for them and smashed up a lot of roadblocks. It damaged a lot of cars, and there was a shootout. You can imagine the chaos. And I was hiding underneath this caravan. I was hurt, and this police car pulled up. While he was driving up the lane, he spotted me, but he backed off to call for backup. I got out of from underneath the caravan, and I ran through this veggie patch and jumped over a couple of fences. I found myself hiding in the river, and I finished up in the bulrushes in the river. You know, I sat there for ages. I was scared. I didn't have a gun. I weren't in control of things. There were policemen. I could hear planes and that, you know, flying up and down looking. I could see boats in the water with police officers in it. You know, I can hear them up and down the riverbank looking for me, searching for me, because they seen where I went. But I was just sitting there hiding in the water. I was hurt. And you know, when you're in fresh water like that, you know, things like to bite you, crawlies in the water, and you was getting bit by things. And I was just hiding there. I was feeling so alone and so empty. And I was thinking to God, I said, how could everything go so wrong? I mean, what a dog day afternoon. I mean, every job I've ever done in the past was done with such precision, military timing precision. Everything was timed to perfection. I could rob a bank in my sleep, and you know what I mean, and get away with it. But how could I let everything go so wrong? And you know, and I put it down, you tried to make a deal with God, and you can't make deals with God. Not like that. You know, let me rob this bank today and then I'm yours. You know, come often, even in your wildest hallucination of drug taking, you couldn't even fantasize about talking to God like that. And even think for a minute that God would even be interested in making a deal like that. I was sitting there and I was hiding in the bulrushes, and then I felt there was somebody watching me. And I looked around and there was this bright light just out of sight of the bulrushes. And I saw this light coming towards me, and there was a shadowy figure I could see in the light. And I just knew that it was holy ground that I was on, even though I was in the water. And I was on my knees in the water in the shallow part of the bulrushes. And this figure, this hand reached out and touched me. I knew I was touched. And you know, I didn't even know how to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of the universe, God, the creator of everything. How would I talk to him? I'm just a black kid from the mission, when you know, with sexual abuse and everything else in my life that was wrong. I was of no value to anybody. I wasn't even of value to myself. And you know, the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, reached out and he touched me. And I knew that something happened. That something happened inside of me. It wasn't from the outside. I knew that something touched me deep inside. And I knew when I came out of that river later that night, I was on the wrong side of the river, but I knew the old black fella that went down into that water wasn't the same black fella that came out. I was a brand new creation. I was touched of God. I was changed.
Oh,
The old black fella that went down into that water wasn't the same black fella that came out. I was a brand new creation. I was touched of God. I was changed. But you know, I still had a problem. I was still running from the police. I was hiding, and I came across these lovers parked in a car on the other side of the river, and the old me would have chucked them out of the car and took the car. But I couldn't do it. I don't even know why I couldn't even do it. Because I knew God had touched me, He changed me. So then I had to go up to the bridge and cross the bridge, and then I found myself walking past the police station. I looked like a drowned rat. I'd been in the water for hours. I was hurt, and I was trying to get home. For some unknown reason, I thought everything would be okay if I could get home and see mum and dad. Then I started to walk. When I got out of town, I walked along the railway tracks, and most black fellas are frightened of the dark, and I was no exception. I was terrified of the dark. And so I picked up a heap of stones because I had no gun, and I thought I felt safe. I've had stones in my pocket. You know, when I was a kid, I was walking home from the movies in the dark, and I did the same thing. I picked up all these stones, and then I saw a ghost, and I ran all the way home. And when I nearly knocked the door down to get in, my old dad, he waited 5 minutes for me to throw the stones away. You know, Farlap never carried that much weight, winning the Melbourne Cup. But, you know, that was God, you know. And I'm walking along the railway tracks in the middle of the night. And then He not only touched me, He started to walk with me and talk to me. God started to speak to me. And He started telling me things that happened to me when I was only a child that nobody knew about. So I knew it had to be God that was talking to me. And He walked with me and He talked with me. And He told me things about not only my past, but He told me things about the future. And I knew it was God. And then when the sun was coming up, there was three cars in the distance, and God told me, He said, Tony, lay down on the ground. He said, there's three cars coming to get you. There's three cars coming, and the third car is the police car, and they're going to get you. And you know, this policeman turned off the highway, and he pointed his gun at me, told me he was going to kill me. And I, that was the first time ever I cried out to God, and I said, God, don't let him shoot me. And this police officer put the gun in his holster, got in his car and drove away. And later that morning, and I was walking past the police roadblock. I mean, there was two, three cars there, and there was half a dozen police officers standing there talking to each other. I thought they saw me. I stopped, I hesitated. Then like I heard a voice speak to me, just walk, keep walking, don't stop. And you know, I walked between two police officers and they never even saw me. God just protected me. I walked through them. I found a place to have a sleep. And while I was sleeping, God had a plan. He sent somebody from Moree to come and get me. It was my fire and brimstone uncle. And he brought three other Christians with him, and they'd been praying for me since the night before when they heard about the shootout. My cousin was arrested. And it was his dad who was the fire and brimstone preacher. He was just like an old figure from the Old Testament. He stood on the side of the road. And it had to be God because he had no idea where I was. And he called out. He said, Tony Dennis. And in this big Bible voice, he said, come out. Come out of there. Come out from under there. God wants to see you. And I came out. And he said to me, he said, I'm not going to hand you into the police. He said, I want to hide you in the mountains. He said, and till they stop looking for you. He said, and I'll bring you food every couple of days. And he said to me, can we pray first? And then as he started to pray for me, I saw a vision in my mind, you know, what happened the day before. And four or five times, God stopped the vision and said to me, Tony, that's where you should have died and went to hell. He said, that's where you should have died and went to hell in your sin. But God said, I saved you. I saved you for a purpose. I want you to do these things for me. He said, if you live by the gun, you're going to die by the gun. But it's your choice. I'm not going to make you do anything. But I'm giving you a choice. You can either give yourself up and go to prison, or you can serve me for the rest of your life and go to prison, or you'll die by the gun. Your choice. And you know, I figured if the God of the universe could come and walk with me through the night and come and touch me while I was in the bulrushes hiding, then it'd be worth giving it a shot. I decided to go into the police station and give myself up. You know, as a result of that, giving myself up, I went to prison. And being in prison as a Christian wasn't easy at first. It was very, very frightening. But God was with me every day. And at the end of that, when I got out of prison, 49 prison guards got saved and 149 prisoners, because I was obedient to God, because he touched me. You know why I'm telling you these stories today? Because it was over 30 years ago at Christmas time that this happened to me. Every time, every year, this time at Christmas, it's always special to me because of what God did for me. He took the old Tony Dennis and the rubbish and he threw it away, and he made me a brand new creation. He made me a son and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He made me one of the King's Kids. And that's where this program's called King's Kids, because we're all King's Kids. We belong to the King of the universe. And you need to know today that God loves you. And if it's this Christmas that you're alone, if this Christmas you're doing it tough, you know, think of somebody else. If you are a Christian in this town or a non-Christian, and you've got plenty, if you've got plenty of food and plenty of money, then why don't you invite somebody that hasn't got money, someone that hasn't, or someone that goes to your church and you know that they're doing it tough. You don't have to make a big show of it. You know, why don't you go and buy a food hamper and just put it on their door, ring the doorbell, and disappear. You do it anonymously. Take it to the pastor of your local church and say, this present, this hamper, this is for so-and-so. This is for that family that comes to our church. We know that they're doing it tough. If you don't know anyone doing it tough, ask God. Ask God and he will show you somebody. Just say, God, is there someone I can bless this Christmas? You know, you've blessed me. You've given me everything. You've given me a family. You've given me a good home. You've given me a job. And let me bless somebody else that hasn't got a job. Let me be a special blessing this Christmas to somebody else. Just like Jesus touched me in the bulrushes, why don't you reach out and touch somebody else? Be a son of the Most High God or a daughter of the Most High God. Do something. Do something for somebody else. Have a great Christmas. And when you hear this message, you just thank God for what he saved you from. You mightn't have been as bad as Tony Dennison. You mightn't have been as bad as your neighbour or somebody else. But if you needed saving, which you did, because God says all men have fallen short of the glory of God, we're all born in sin because of Adam, today is a good time to give your heart to Jesus. And if you're listening to this show today and you're not a Christian and you've never given your heart to God, well, why don't you take a moment to reflect on your life and think how much better off it could be if you trust God. Becoming a Christian is so easy and so simple. And this is what I want you to say. Just say this. Just close your eyes. Don't care about anybody else around you. You just say, God, I'm nothing but a sinner. And God, I know that I've lived my life the way I want to do, just like Tony. But God, I need you to come into my heart. I need you to come in. And I ask you, God, to forgive me of all my sins and my trespasses against you. I just want you to forgive me. God, just make me like you did Tony. Just touch me. Just touch my heart. And if you believed in all your heart and you said these words, say, God, forgive me, come into my heart and take control of my life, then you're a Christian. You're born again. And if you do that today, I know you're going to have a great Christmas.
Christmas is an extra special time for Tony because that's when he got saved all those years ago, and he's shared his love for God ever since. What a wonderful testimony he's shared with us today. The music we heard in today's episode was First Call with Heaven's Coming Down, and He Touched Me from Sydney Group One Accord. We have some good news for you. On Christmas Day, Tony returns to share some words of wisdom from his vast experience of life. We'll have some Christmas songs to share as well. Tune in at 4 p.m. on Christmas Day for a King's Kids Christmas special. That's all for now. Starting next week and going through the holidays, we'll present the best of King's Kids episodes specially selected by Tony. I'm Heidi. Have a happy Christmas and see you on Christmas Day.